Jesus Christ. Prayer is so simple. Talk to God. And yet, prayer seems to be something that's really difficult. In that almost all Christians I know, absolutely myself included, wish that they could pray better, more, that they had more of a heart for prayer, that they want to be in prayer more and more deeply in when they do pray. And so it's a challenge for all Christians. So simple, and yet for some reason it seems to be something that's so difficult for us. There are lots of wonderful books written on prayer. Over the next few weeks, I'll be referencing some of them and highlighting and showing some of them here and offering some of them for us to use. One of the funny things about books on prayer is that we tend to buy them because we want to analyze how we should pray. We want to be told how to pray. We want to be taught how to pray. And so often when we buy and read books on prayer, we don't pray. We're just kind of studying prayer as opposed to actually praying. So at least two books on prayer that I have kind of start off that way, saying, okay, great, we're going to have a book, we're going to write about prayer, we're going to read all this stuff here now, but let's not forget in the midst of it that you can pray, and you need to pray and not just study how to pray. It's not just a class or a course that we're going to learn. We know how to pray in so many ways. And the Scriptures tell us how to pray. And they tell us how not to pray. And yet, it's such a difficult thing for us. Maybe you're like me, where you find that you're so busy that it's hard to quiet down your mind in order to pray. Or when you do go to pray, you find that you get distracted and your mind will wander to and fro and over all the different things. It's so much easier to click on the email app, for example, than even open your Bible and spend time with the Lord. We're always finding ways to make it more convenient and less onerous, there's wonderful, and we'll look at resources for helping us to pray. And yet also what we'll see as we go through the Scriptures here these next few weeks, that it's when we fall in love with Jesus more that we long to pray, that we long to be with Him more and more in an ever-growing way. We're going to use significantly, we'll go off in some other areas, but we're going to use significantly Matthew chapter 6 to look at prayer, which we'll start in this morning. So please turn to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. It will lead, in Lord willing, a few weeks into the Lord's Prayer. Before Jesus gets into the Lord's Prayer, He has some other teaching on prayer. And really He's going to look at and say what or how not to pray. And in doing so, He also teaches us how to pray. Chapter 6 is really telling us how to live as Christians. He's really saying, what is the Christian life like? And in this section here, He's talking about prayer. He just spoke about how to give to the needy, how to give our money, in what way. And what He really said was that we should do it quietly. We should do it not to announce how wonderful we are, how generous we are, but we should give quietly so that no one knows what we give, that we give. And now in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, He's going to start to talk about prayer. This morning we'll just look at verses 5 and 6. Here are the words of the Lord. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This is God's Word. This section here is saying that we are not to pray to or for the applause of men, but we are to pray to God. We pray to God. Very simple, very obvious thing, and yet Jesus goes out of His way to warn us about this because Jesus knows our hearts. Jesus knows our propensities and how we function, and this is a challenge for us. He starts off verse 5 by saying, when you pray. And I just want to pause on that for a second. Jesus is saying, when you pray. He's not saying, if you pray, or for those of you who pray, or the ones that are called to prayer, when you pray. He is making an assumption that we pray. If we are a believer in Jesus Christ, we are called to pray. It is part and parcel of who we are as believers in Jesus Christ, that we are prayers. We are ones who speak with God, who listen before God, who pour out our hearts to Him, and who allow Him, through His Word and by being in His presence, to transform us, to then go out into the world, still in communion with God, and live according to His ways, to live the life that He calls us to. When we pray. So if you're wrestling and saying, oh, you know, I haven't prayed very much, or my prayers are not very, very good, or not very long, or I rarely pray. Okay. Let's just pause and let's acknowledge that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we pray. We are people who pray. I have a little devotional pamphlet, booklet that I got when I was in college, and it's about kind of how to have a daily devotion, how to have time with the Lord to pray and to read the Scriptures every day. And the author of that booklet starts off by writing, on the first page, something to the effect of, I haven't had a quiet time in 30 days, so why should I be writing this book? But he too then goes on and says, wow, this is calling me back to the Lord. I know what I need to do. And if I haven't been praying, if I haven't sat before the Lord and sat there and spoke with Him and listened to Him, okay, guess what? You can right now. Right here, right now. Today, this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow morning, we can pray. Even for the person who's never prayed before, you can pray to your Heavenly Father. Well, Jesus goes on then to talk about how not to pray. And the first thing He says is, when you pray, right, do not seek attention, in verse 5. Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. Why? To be seen by men. So the warning here is that in our prayers, and we can carefully extend this to all of our religious activity, our religious service, whatever it is, that we don't do that. We don't pray in order for those around us to say, what a spiritual person they are. What a godly woman. What a godly man. Look how eloquent their prayers are. They must really, really be close to God. We don't pray for that purpose. The obvious statement, again, in the very beginning, we pray to God. We pray and we commune with God. It's us and God in prayer. Now, I don't think this means that we should never have public prayer, that all prayer should just be silent and all prayer should be alone. But there's a real warning here as we're praying. Right? For those who are called to pray up front or pray in a small group, there's a warning, isn't it? It's so easy when you're praying out loud to be self-conscious and to shift our thoughts into what words we're trying to say, and then we shift them away from God. And God understands, it's okay. But the call here is to say, when we pray, don't have it on your mind and in your heart, boy, I really want to impress so-and-so with my prayers. We're praying unto God, an audience of one. I remember when I was in college as a new believer, I was in a small group, just three of us, myself and two other Christian students, and we would do a weekly Bible study together. I remember after like three or four Bible studies, they asked me, they said, Scott, would you close us in prayer? And I was like, no way, I'm not doing that, I'm not praying out loud, are you kidding me? I never thought I would ever pray out loud, because I knew I was going to be so self-conscious that I don't know how to pray, who am I to pray, and it's just going to sound weird, and they're going to laugh at me, and I'm going to mess up my words, and I'm going to say something wrong, and it was just my immediate reaction was, there is no way I'm going to pray out loud. Remember when we were in our 20s or so, and a group of us would go out to dinner, or maybe 20s, go out to dinner, then I was no longer allowed to pray because I wouldn't shut up. And sometimes my boys are like, all right, Dad, eat the food, right? It doesn't mean that I'm a wonderful prayer. I don't mean that. I just probably tend to babble, like during sermons. But that praying is not to be thinking about or focused on other people thinking we're great. Now there is, I think, a subtle difference here between praying so that other people are impressed with you, which Jesus condemns, and having your mind wander and being self-conscious, being nervous if you're praying out loud. There's a difference there. Right, our minds can get distracted because we're worried maybe we didn't say it right or something, or we slurred our words or something didn't quite come together the way we wanted it to. That's different than being, boy, everyone's really going to be proud of my prayers. Look how wonderful my prayers are. That's what Jesus is condemning he calls them the hypocrites who go into the synagogue and they want everyone to see them praying, who go on the street corners and everyone wants to, and they want everyone to see them praying. There was this week a relatively famous Hollywood actor for some reason did some interview and came out with his schedule that he has throughout the day, and it was a crazy schedule, but part of it was he's saying, I pray for a half hour every day, like 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that. Right? And God bless him, that's wonderful. It was just interesting to me that here you are doing an interview with a national magazine and you're declaring how godly you are, in a sense. Now, he may, and it may be his way to testify, and that's you know, between him and God, you know. But this idea of we want everyone to know how long we pray, how much we pray, how amazing our prayers are. That, I think, is getting here into what Jesus is warning us about. That our prayers are for God. It's time for us and God together. Jesus then in verse 6 says, instead of praying for all to recognize and notice, pray in private. He says here in verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. So here's what we are to do. Not pray for everyone to see, but we pray privately between us and God. Prayer is an intimate encounter with our Heavenly Father, which we'll talk more about in a minute. Prayer is our time to be one-on-one. Again, I don't think that this is saying we can't pray publicly. Jesus did. He taught us to pray in a public setting with other people around. The book of John records his wonderful high priestly prayer that was out loud for all to hear. In the synagogues before Jesus and afterwards, they would pray and pray out loud. As with everything that the Lord calls us to, it's not about the form. It's not a to-do. Oh, we're only pray this way. Only pray this way. It's about the heart. It's about our heart's position towards God. Coming at Him with humility and love versus coming to Him with a list we're trying to check off to make Him do what we want. Do we come to prayer saying, okay, God, what do I have to do to get you to give me what I want? Or do we come before the Lord in prayer humbly saying, Lord, Thy will be done. Shape me and my will according to Your will, O God. That we pray in private, quietly, because it's an intimate encounter with God. He then goes on and says in verse 6, again, something that we see, we know, it's obvious, and yet it is so profound, that when we pray to our Heavenly Father. The language Jesus uses here is just beautiful, and He speaks to who God is. There's many aspects of God, right? Many characters, many attributes of God. And Jesus could have spoken and called out many different attributes. Pray, when you pray, go into your room privately, close the door, and pray to the Lord God Almighty. Pray to the Lord of hosts. Which are all true statements of who God is. But Jesus here is speaking in prayer. We pray to our Father, who unlike our earthly Father is unseen, but unlike our earthly Father, sees all. And knows all. Knows our hearts. When we pray to God, we're praying to our Heavenly Father. And the Scriptures, God as the Father, He is a protector. He is powerful. He is strong. He is loving. He is a disciplinarian, but He's merciful. We're praying intimately to our Heavenly Father who already knows all that we're going to say. We'll explore that some more over the next few weeks. Isn't that crazy? Brings the question, why pray? I'll give you a little preview here. Because prayer isn't about just getting what we want. It's not just about submitting your wish list to God for what you want for Christmas. It's a relationship. It's spending time with Him. Sharing our hearts, which He already knows, but sharing our hearts anyways. Because in the process of pouring out our hearts, joys and our hearts, concerns to God, we fellowship with God. In ways where if we don't share them with Him, even though He knows our concerns, we're missing out on the fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Think of this loving way, powerful way, in which God comes to us and we approach Him and He is our Father. How beautiful that is, that we get to enter His presence and commune with Him. I know I've used this illustration and analogy before years ago. There's a wonderful picture when John F. Kennedy was president, and he's in the Oval Office sitting at the desk. And then there's a picture underneath the desk is his son, John John. And it's this amazing thing. Here's the most powerful man in the world, in the most powerful room ever in the whole world, but his son gets to run in there and jump up on daddy's lap because it's his daddy. Yes, he is the most powerful man, but that's his daddy. And he gets to run up into his lap, jump up on his lap. Doesn't matter that it's the Oval Office with the presidential desk there. That's my dad. That's my Abba. And we come to God. We enter into His presence. And it is a holy presence. and we enter not because we are holy. We enter because Jesus is holy. And Jesus died for us that we could enter the presence of our Heavenly Father. We close these verses here with something that always, I think, what always surprises me. He says, then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When we pray to God, there is reward. Doesn't that sound so strange? It does to me. Think of reward from God. I'm not approaching God for a reward. I'm just approaching God because, well, He's God, and isn't it, in a sense, it's my duty. I owe it to God, right? Because He's God, and He made me. He made all things, and He made me born again. This is a duty. We're supposed to pray. What do you mean you're not praying? Do you know what God did for you? And there's an element of that I understand. But God doesn't talk that way. God speaks of there is a blessing for us when we pray. Not when we pray trying to puff ourselves up or make ourselves look good or have everyone be so impressed with us, but when we pray humbly, enter intimately into our Heavenly Father's presence and commune with Him and share our heart with Him and listen to Him and His Word, He says, there is reward from that. He doesn't specify what that reward is, but that there is a blessing that we receive. It's not pure, altruistic. God doesn't ask that of us. He promises us a blessing, reward, as we come to Him. I'm always struck by Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. This is a strange verse for me, in my mind, because I'm really stuck in the mindset of I'm just supposed to approach God because I'm supposed to. It's a duty, right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, okay? Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, got it, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. When we come to God, according to Hebrews 11:6, we must believe that God rewards us for earnestly seeking Him. Doesn't elaborate on the reward here. I think the rest of Scriptures testify that the reward is Jesus, is intimacy, fellowship with Jesus. But Jesus says when we come to the Father and pray humbly, privately, with our devotion on our Heavenly Father, there is reward. So this isn't a how-to manual here, right? This isn't a how can I pray better? Give me a checklist. It's not going to be that. It's not how we're going to look at things. We'll talk about some resources that might be able to help you. Martin Luther wrote a really wonderful kind of how-to resource, very short, very simple, which we'll talk about. But as we pray, this passage, it speaks to me and awakens me to say, how am I praying? Am I really praying so that others will applaud me? Or am I praying one-on-one with my Heavenly Father? My Heavenly Father who sees, who knows, who rewards, who loves me. And this passage helps to shift me and open my eyes and make me aware of my heart more before God. Lord, change my heart. All the times when I focus on others and how they think of me, instead of focusing on You, Lord, change my heart to see you alone, to see and know you, my heavenly Father, who loves to be in my presence and loves me to come to you, O God. That our hearts are changed as we see, oh, wait a minute, don't pray for people. Pray to our heavenly Father who loves us. Pray to our heavenly Father who sees, who knows, and who loves. Let's pray. Father, teach us to pray. Even as I say the word teach, Lord, I realize that that can so easily have a connotation or a meaning of just head knowledge, like something we get at school. I pray, Lord, it goes deeper, that you would give us heart knowledge, Lord. That you would shape and change our hearts, O Heavenly Father. Oh, we know and we do pray, O God, yes. Shape us to be people of prayer. Teach us to pray, O Lord God. Fill our hearts with love and longing for you. Send us to our knees and to our private closets, Lord, to spend time with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.